Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All right, the framing wars are on. Outsourcer in chief, offshore. You didn't build that yourself. Let's talk about the language of 2012 with the man who helped define the way Democrats frame issues. George Lakoff wrote Don't Think of an Elephant. Remember that book? He's back with a new one called The Little Blue Book, The Essential Guide to Thinking and Talking Democratic. It's co-written with Elizabeth Vailing, a political strategist and linguistics researcher who looks at both American and European politics through the lens of language. George Lakoff and Elizabeth Vailing, thanks for coming on WNYC today.
What a pleasure to be back, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
I want to jump right to Chapter 10 of the book because you write this. Democrats need to be talking nonstop about the public as the necessary foundation of the private. The conservative drumbeat of smaller government needs to be undermined by a repeating of the public's role in democracy and how we rely on the public all day, every day. So, with that in mind, I think you could guess what clip from the campaign we're going to play right now, and here it is.
I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive.
So that's kind of the controversial campaign soundbite of the last week or so. George Lakoff, was Barack Obama reading your book?
He may have been, but he didn't do it exactly right.
Why?
If you read the speech as a whole, it's kind of random. He rolled up his sleeves and was improvising. And he never really gave the full moral basis of what he was saying, nor did he carry it out nearly as well as Elizabeth Warren has been carrying it out. He actually needs to do it better and to repeat it and to get it right. It's not just that there was somebody, some teacher somewhere. It's that you had an educational system. You had, roads and bridges and airplane pilots trained by the Air Force and electric systems and transportation systems and an internet built by the government and so on. You have everything that is needed by a corporation, not just a corporation, that any little business that uses the internet, that has things transported to it, that uses roads, that has a sewer system. Any business at all requires the public. And that's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it depends on a moral principle, which is that democracy starts with people caring about each other, with citizens taking responsibility for that care, and with creating a government that has public provisions to protect and empower everybody equally.
So
that is what democracy is really about. And conservatives have a totally different moral system. They believe that democracy is about liberty, the liberty to seek your own self-interest and your own well-being without being responsible for the interests or well-being of anybody else. That is the fundamental difference in economic terms, and it's a huge difference. You want to know the difference between Romney and Obama? It starts right there. That wasn't mentioned by Obama, nor was the full way in which the any business at all depends upon the public.
So very quickly, here is a little of the pushback that came from Governor Romney after the president made that remark, and then we'll hear the president's response to the pushback as this has started to go back and forth. Here's Romney.
He said, if you think you're smart, well, there are a lot of other smart people. And if you think you're working hard, there are a lot of other hardworking people. Where was he going with that? What's he trying to say? That we don't celebrate and reward success and achievement?
Those ads, taking my words about small business out of context, they're flat out wrong.
Of course Americans build their own businesses. Every day, hardworking people sacrifice to meet a payroll, create jobs, and make our economy run. And what I said was that we need to stand behind them, as America always has, by investing in education and training, roads and bridges, research and technology. I'm Barack Obama, and I prove this message because I believe we're all in this together.
So that back and forth wound up with a campaign commercial, as you heard there, by President Obama. But Elizabeth Phelan kind of on the defensive. You don't hear many campaign ads that say, look, that guy's criticism of the thing I said, well, don't believe that that is the framing of the thing I said. That should be taken as true. And people are going to scratch their heads and go, what?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think the issue there with that response is that he starts out by repeating the Romney's claim of him not supporting small business and not rewarding personal success. And the moment you start a political argument by repeating your opponent's ideas and then say, look, this is not what I say, here is what I say, most likely people, you know, listeners are going to stick within the frame that you set up right up front, right at the beginning. And so it's hard to argue your facts and your positions based on such an entry. But at the same time, I do have to say that compared to Obama's initial statement on the issue, at least the second half of this Ed was much more transparent in terms of what he's trying to get at, you know, at public provisions that we all build our private and our professional lives on.
Studying political linguistics here and in Europe, is this a kind of back and forth that would take place in Europe, or would it take place differently?
You do get similar tendencies. So overall, if you look at the conservative versus the more liberal groups over here in Europe, you do get tendencies that are somewhat a mirror image of the beliefs that you see in the U.S. within those groups. However, overall, say the conservative party in Germany, right? In its name, it's the Christian Democratic Party. And its little sister party, which is even more right-wing, it's called the Christian Social Party. So even just by looking at the party names, you do get a feel for the fact that overall policy and belief systems are a little more towards the left in Europe generally, I would say. But if you look at extreme cases, if you look at certain arguments, for example, Merkel arguing for austerity, if you look at more extreme right-wing groups in Germany and across Europe, you look at Le Pen and her, you know, her politics in France, you do get tendencies that really do mirror the American conservatism. Mm. And by conservatism, I mean the extreme conservatism, where you basically neglect the function of the public, where you basically say everybody is in this, you know, by themselves, for themselves, where you want to cut back on human rights and freedom by banning abortion or the morning after pill, whatever it is you have.
My guests on WNYC, Elizabeth Phelan and George Lakoff, co-authors of The Little Blue Book, The Essential Guide to Thinking and Talking Democratic. I want to go on to another Obama ad. This is a one-minute spot called Choice that's airing in Colorado, Florida, Iowa, North Carolina, New Hampshire, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, all the swing states. So we're not hearing it here in this area much, except maybe in the context of a conversation like this. Listeners, we posted the ad on our website, so you can watch it for yourself if you want, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And I want to break it down into three parts. So here's the first 10 seconds. Listen.
Over the next 4 months, you have a choice to make. Not just between two political parties or even two people. It's a choice between two very different plans for our country.
Okay, pause tape. Thank you for pausing tape. I heard that. Elizabeth, that seems like it's a pretty clear moral argument there. And you call in the book for moral arguments. Do you think that's effective?
Mm-hmm. You know what? I think at that point he's not making a moral argument yet, but what he's getting right at that point is that he says, look, this is not just about policy, you know, details and facts. This is about different visions for how we should organize together.
So he's setting up a moral argument. So, okay, mm-hmm. On with the ad. Roll tape.
Governor Romney's plan would cut taxes for the folks at the very top. roll back regulations on big banks. And he says that if we do, our economy will grow and everyone will benefit. But you know what? We tried that top-down approach. It's what caused the mess in the first place.
Stop tape. So, George, you write in the book that conservatives constantly talk about limitations on state power, thus bringing the idea into public discourse. But what's not in our public discourse, you write, is the question of limitations on corporate power. So in the portions of the spot that we've played so far, do you see President Obama trying to do that? And if so, how does he avoid the idea that he's, quote unquote, attacking capitalism?
Well, two problems. First, he's repeating what Romney says, thus sort of making that Romney's idea stronger in the public mind. And he's, you know, that is a problem. He's not starting with his own position and framing the discussion from his perspective. And that's a major problem. With respect to the issue of of warfare, what he's not doing is saying what the best corporation should be doing. What is a progressive capitalism? And there is a notion of progressive capitalism, and he probably has it. Namely, businesses should be providing products for people that they need at a reasonable profit, and not harming the public in any way, not exporting jobs, not doing the sorts of things that Bain Capital and others have done. In short, there are two visions of capitalism, and he's not given the progressive vision.
Let's see if he does in the last 20 seconds of this spot. Roll tape.
I believe the only way to create an economy built to last is to strengthen the middle class, asking the wealthy to pay a little more so we can pay down our debt in a balanced way, so that we can afford to invest in education, manufacturing, and homegrown American energy for good middle-class jobs. Sometimes politics can seem very small, but the choice you face, it couldn't be bigger. I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
What he's doing there is talking about how the public can help, but he's not giving a progressive vision of capitalism.
Right. And yet you write in your book, well, you devote a whole, you have a chapter called Workers Are Profit Creators. What are you getting at with that language, and do you think he approached it in what we just heard?
Not really. What he was doing was saying, how you can, how he can help the middle class and help business, but he's not saying something that is true. That is, American businesses have two classes of workers, the assets and the resources. And they treat people who can be, sort of replaced easily by somebody else as a resource, as if they were, they're hired by the human resources department, as opposed to the assets, who are seen as the creative people and the major managers. It's not that everybody is considered an asset, and it's not like the company is there for the community, for the country, for its workers. It doesn't see that the workers are profit creators. That unless you have the people working for you, you're not going to make money. Now, it may be that you need fewer people working for you to make money, but the people who've worked for you are people you owe. They've made you money.
Elizabeth, a little pushback from a listener named Martin on our comments page to the whole idea of your book. He asks whether the book recommends that Democrats simply ignore any other points of view and talk over them. And there are also Democrats out there who are concerned that you're encouraging the left to play the same simplistic talking points game that Democrats always accuse Republicans of playing. So what would you say to either of those?
I think the following has to be understood. First of all, by communicating your own moral vision, you do not necessarily neglect other people's morality or other people's beliefs. You just say, look, this is what I believe. This is why certain facts about this society and the problems we face, in my view, lead to policies A, B, and C. So actually talking about the morality that underlies your policy and your general ideas for society is a very transparent thing to do, because what you're really doing is you're enabling the citizen who shares your values, who shares your ideas, to understand where you're coming from and then to say, you know what, I have those same values and I'm going to support your policy, you know, with all the facts that go with it. And in my understanding, if you fail to communicate who you are as a moral person in politics, really, it's to a certain extent, it's a failure of the democratic process, because politics is about what is right and wrong. Politics is not about numbers and facts that have a meaning in themselves. The reason that we have different parties is that people have different belief systems. So being as transparent about mm-hmm. your beliefs as you can,
and we just have
a very high aim. 20
seconds left, George, on this idea that you're advising Democrats to play the same, you know, bottom-feeding game as Republicans play?
Hardly. The opposite. I'm saying say what your moral beliefs are and always tell the truth, especially the deep truths, like the fact that the private depends on the public. That's a very deep truth. Don't lie. You know, never, ever, you know. Always tell the truth, always, but always say what the moral principle is.
George Lakoff and Elizabeth Failing, authors of The Little Blue Book, The Essential Guide to Thinking and Talking Democratic. Thank you both.
Thank you.